Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Running a bit behind today because my guest this morning is a very, very busy lady. Megan Huff is here with Serve Pro, and we're so glad to have you on the line, Megan. Thank you so much for making time to be on the Mary Griffith Show. You've got a big charity event coming up, and I don't want people to miss out, so please tell us all about that if you don't mind.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you guys so much for putting me on here. It's a huge event. It is called the Field of Heroes Charity Flag Football Tournament. And it is kind of a quick synopsis of it is first responders playing in the tournament. And we've got Special Olympics coming out, kicking us off at 1 o'clock. We've got a little kids challenge going on during that day. We've got food trucks joining us. We've got a silent auction. We've got 50-50 raffle going on. It is massive. And the charity we are picking is actually two. It is going to be 50% going to Special Olympics of Illinois, and the other 50% will go to the charity of choice by the winning first responder team.
Okay. Kind of a favorite from, you know, whoever wins, they get some money for their charity.
Exactly.
When and where is this?
We wanted them to have some skin in the game.
Yeah,
there.
Well, that's
it
true.
So it is going to be at the Paul Dennis Complex Park, there off of State Street in Quincy, Illinois. And it'll be, like I said, it'll kick us off at 1 o'clock with Special Olympics starting, and then the first responder games will follow right after. We will have kind of a fun, we've got a big surprise for everybody. We are nominating a first responder of the year, complete surprise to everyone. So that we're going to kick off two right in between those two games. And then we've got five teams that are going to participate in the tournament.
Wow, that is fantastic. Now, what date is this? Is it tomorrow?
This
Saturday?
This Saturday.
Saturday.
We are in crunch time. I'm fine-tuning all the little things, getting everything loaded up, and we're going to take it out to the park and get it all set up for everybody to come out and enjoy.
So we're going to see, like, firefighters versus police officers versus ambulance workers versus, you know, everybody who's a first responder in our area is going to get a chance to play these games. And is it just one game they're playing, or is it multiple games they're playing?
So I've fully set up a bracket, so they could end up playing multiple games. They could end up playing up to, I believe, three games total, just depending on if they win or lose. And it's going to be fun. Yeah, they're pretty excited. It sounds like they're very competitive, so they're ready to go.
They are ready to go. And this is flag football, right?
This is flag football. I can't guarantee they won't try to tackle, but.
Well, I'll tell you what, good luck. Some of these guys are pretty big and burly, but others are really quick and fast. So it'll be interesting
right?
to see who can win. Hey, you know, flag football is going to be an Olympic sport coming up in Los Angeles. So maybe one of these heroes
really?
On this field of heroes will go on to Olympic glory. I love the fact that that Serve Pro is doing this to sponsor it. Special Olympics, and then whichever team wins, the firefighters or whoever, the sheriff's office, whatever, they get to pick their charity. Why is Serve Pro get involved in this? What's in it for you?
So we literally nothing. There is nothing in it for us, and that's a good thing. You know, we're here to do good. We work very closely with first responders on a lot of the jobs that we get called out to, between fires and bios and water, you know, just the devastation that people suffer. And so we wanted to kind of do something for them. And what had happened was Serve Pro Corporate does a first responder bowl game every year. And if you're into football, you know what teams play in that already. It's a big deal. And we decided to bring it to that local level because we love working with our local first responders. And then adding in the Special Olympics was just that little extra touch there that we needed. And we are just excited to have them and be able to have a good day with our first responders.
Well, the Paul Dennis Field is a wonderful complex. They just have brand new roadways out there. Plenty of seating for spectators. Should people bring a lawn chair and a blanket, or is there enough seating there? How does this work, and who can come?
So anybody is welcome. It is a $5 entry fee, which, again, goes straight to donation. So it's all donation. And the more the merrier. Kids even. We've got little kids challenged. They can win little medals in their age group even. So we've got them having fun while the parents watch the game. And as for seating, there's a ton of bleachers out there, but I don't know about you guys. I like to bring my own chairs, so feel free. Bring a chair, bring a blanket, come hang out with us all day. Come hungry. We've got four different food and drink trucks going to set up with us. We've got the big semi coming out that is for the first responders. We've got, I think, the DARE car coming out. So we've got a lot of people coming to hang out with us and just really involve the community with first responders.
You know, it might not be fair if AeroVac is involved because they can swoop down from their helicopter, you know, take somebody down on a rope, grab a flag, and go back up before anybody can tackle
they
them. That's
could,
not fair.
And I promise they will be there, but I don't think we got the helicopter, unfortunately. We really tried to bring in something, you know, and yeah.
That helicopter, I mean, it's nice to look at, but remember, it has a very serious purpose. So it really
it
needs to be stationed at the hospital where it can be responding at all times. So, you know, that's the problem when you have a first responders event. You know, anybody on duty is going to be kind of blocked out of participating. And, you know, you can have a fire truck there or a car there or whatever you think you're going to have there. And then all of a sudden everything goes off and it ends. But that's why we honor these heroes as first responders.
Exactly.
You know, right after September 11th, you know, we all saw how people in that community and in our community are brave and are saying, you know, we're willing to go and do things that other people aren't willing to do. So if you're free tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, bring your appetite, bring a $5 bill to get in and spectate to see all the first responders play each other in multiple games of flag football for a winner-take-all, able to give the money to their favorite charity. And then, of course, Special Olympics of Illinois. And Megan, you say ServPro doesn't, you know, get anything out of it. I know you don't get anything financially out of it. You're spending money on it. But I bet you get a great deal of satisfaction out of it, don't you?
Absolutely. It has been just a pleasure working not only with the first responders, but working with the local community. I mean, I've went around to so many businesses saying, what can you do to give back? How will you help? How are you capable of helping? And, you know, the sponsorships have been wonderful. We've really had our community step up and just donate things. Cause like I said, we've got that silent auction, that's going on, and this community has really stepped up and donated just some phenomenal items. So please come out and see it and see the items and just look at those sponsorships and what the community involvement is like, because it has been phenomenal. And they just love the idea that we're putting together. And it has been quite, quite impressive. And I'm just so excited for this event.
It is tomorrow, or I already think it's Friday. It's Saturday
at
1. I know. You're probably busy and going, oh, I can't wait till, you know, it's a lot to put together. We thank ServPro for doing it. Megan Huff, it's Saturday at 1 o'clock. Come out, spend a great afternoon there with the heroes on the Field of Heroes there at Paul Dennis Soccer Complex, 46 and State Street for flag football. Proceeds benefiting the Special Olympics of Illinois, and they'll have the opening ceremony at 1. And the winner gets to pick the winner's choice charity. So it'll be interesting to see who wins. You know, these guys are very competitive, and gals too. Only $5 to get in. Lots and lots of food trucks. So everybody come out prepared to support their first responders. Megan, back to work with you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so very much for being on the Mary Griffith Show today. We appreciate it. It is 9:33. We're going to step aside, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening up there. And then we're going to talk about the YWCA, their mission in our community, and a fundraiser they have coming up called The Voice. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Ryan Roberts joins me with the YWCA. When I was a little girl, the Y was where I took my ballet lessons. We had exercise classes and things like that. And the Y has changed so much over the years, and for the better. They fight racism in our community and nationwide and internationally. They also, in Quincy, have really taken on the mission of finding housing for people who really can't find housing, stable housing. You know, if you've ever known anyone who literally their kids have to change schools all the time because they're moving all the time and everything like that, it can be very disruptive to a family. So getting a stable housing environment is very important. So Ryan Roberts, we're here today to talk about that. And we'll get to the mission in a moment. But first, we have to talk about how we're going to fund this mission. And it's always nice to have fun when we're fundraising.
Exactly.
And the Y has come upon something that's really kind of very interesting. Tell us all about it, please.
So I recently joined the Y about 10 months ago, and last year, about 2 days after I started, we had our Voice event, which is our annual fundraiser, and also awards event where we award three ladies in the community for their service in the community and different things like that. So two of those go to professionals and volunteers in the community, and one of those goes to a young lady in the community to help with college expenses and things like that.
Yeah, so, the future woman of achievement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are looking for nominations for all of those still, and they can send in nominations up through October 14th. And if you would like to nominate somebody, you can go to our website, which is quincyywca.org, to do that. But the event is actually, it was so much fun last year. It is actually a lip sync event. And we recruit local celebrities to come in and do a lip sync performance. So last year we had a bunch of amazing performances, fun performances, funny performances, emotional performances, but all for a great cause. And it was an awesome event. And like I said, last year I helped with the event 2 days after I started. This year I'm going to be here for a year when I'm up there on stage, so I'll be able to hopefully
you'll
talk
really
a lot
understand
more
the mission
and know the mission a
well,
lot
let's
better,
talk about so. When the voice competition is. What is the date?
So it is October 25th. That is a Friday. The doors open at 5:30 p.m. and then the actual event will start at 6. Tickets are $65. That does include a fully catered meal. There will be a cash bar at the event as well, for those who would like to partake in that. And it's just a really great, fun event. And, you know, there's a lot of interaction between everybody that's there and the tables and stuff. It's just a great night.
It's a great night to see people perform in our community. Can you reveal who some of these people are that are vying for The Voice?
Well, there will be a reveal coming out
Our
Facebook page.
Just too early for
next
you. Okay.
Week. But we do have quite a few very exciting people.
How many
lined
people?
Up.
How many people are in it?
So it varies from year to year. So currently we have 4 confirmed for this year, but actually I just got an update. We have 6 confirmed for this year. But we are engaging with a few other individuals, so we may have as many as 12.
Oh my goodness.
So, we're gonna see how that goes.
Okay. You can have too many now, be careful.
Well, it is capped at twelve.
So this is October 25th, a Friday night. It's a competition, it's at the Oakley Lindsay Civic Center.
Yes.
And it's great. You go, you have a wonderful dinner, you can buy a table, you can sit with your friends, or you can make new friends. It doesn't matter. Everybody there is very friendly, that's for sure. Some of the people who perform are very nervous because they're not used to doing that, but that's okay. They thrive off your applause, right?
Oh, yes. They thrive off the applause, and usually they have backup singers and also a variety of different people there assisting with their performances as well.
Okay. Anita Failer has joined us, and we'll get to her in just a moment. We'll take a real quick break. We're talking about the YWCA. Ryan Roberts, the executive director, is here. Anita Failer is yet to say anything, but we're going to get to her in just a moment. Mark your calendars for Friday night, October 25th, for The Voice. Social hour at 5:30. The event begins at 6 with a dinner and then the entertainment to follow. They have 6 confirmed voice singers right now. If you'd like to still be one, I'm sure they would take you. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. And remember that Big Read is tonight. Beautiful weather for it at Washington Park from 6 to 8. We are joined today by members of the YWCA volunteer staff and their executive director, Ryan Roberts. Anita Failer is here, and we're getting ready for The Voice. And Anita, you bring some unique perspective to this. What would you like to add to our conversation this morning?
Well, this is my very favorite event. It's my baby, basically. I was in the very first Voice when it was actual singing. So ever since then, I've been involved with it ever since. So
and now it's more lip-syncing,
it
right?
It is lip-syncing, so it's not as nerve-wracking, I think. So, although I still prefer the real singing because that was my event. So.
Well, hey, because you can really sing. The rest of us who can't really sing prefer lip-syncing.
It's all about attitude,
it's
Mary.
All about attitude. And speaking of attitude, a man who can sing very well and is in the band Pepper Spray is our very own police chief, Adam Yates, was just here Tuesday on the Mary Griffith Show. He does not always carry around his trophy, so I often forget that he was the winner last year. He's coming back for an encore performance.
He is, and he's excited to do it. He was my very first yes this year, so he's coming back to open the show for us, and maybe we can get him to do a couple other things too. So
okay, well now Ryan Roberts has refused to tell me who's going to be in The Voice. He says there'll be a reveal next week. But you know, you can override that. You could tell me some of the names that we could look forward to. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's always nice when these things are revealed on the Mary Griffith Show. I always love that. Doesn't look like I'm making any inroads with
Anita. I can
Anita.
Say that Chief Yates was gracious enough to nominate someone from his department to take his place as a competitor this year.
Okay, so we will have a man or a woman in blue.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that is exciting. Anita, what do you get out of volunteering for the YWCA? Why is this cause so near and dear to your heart?
Well, actually, when I first started, I had no idea what the YWCA did until I was in the Voice event, and then I learned about all the people that it helps. Empowering women is very important to me, so I said I need to be a part of this organization. So, and of course, being an accountant, they make you be the treasurer, so I've been the treasurer for a long time. So that is my contribution to at least try to help with our community, try to use some of my knowledge to help with the community. It's not the most exciting thing, but, you know, accounting is important too.
Well, yes, and I was laughing because when Anita walked in, I said, it's the first time I've seen Anita walk into a room where I was truly excited to see her, because every time else she walks into the room I'm in, she's auditing one of the not-for-profits that I sit on the board for. So that is not always as a pleasant, but
we feel so loved.
Yes, I know. Love your accountant day. I don't know when it is, but we're going to have to celebrate it. You know, this mission of everybody coming out, having a great meal, seeing these people lip sync, seeing these people perform, of course it's going to be fantastic. But there is some seriousness behind this mission. And Ryan Roberts, whether you talk to the city council, the county board, the police chief, the fire chief, the sheriff, any social service agency, any economic development, the chamber, Gretif, you name it, they're all saying the same thing. We've got some serious problems in our community because people don't have safe, sanitary, adequate housing. The Y has been trying to solve that problem and has made great inroads, but it's almost like taking a thimble out of an ocean. Sometimes I'm sure it feels that way. But tell us a little bit exactly what your sustainable housing project is and how that works and why this fundraiser is so important to sustain that.
Okay, so we have a few different programs that we do, but our main program is our permanent supportive housing, and it is primarily funded through the federal government. However, just like most not-for-profit organizations here in town and all throughout the country, our funds are restricted. We have a lot of rules, a lot of regulations.
The government has rules and regulations?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
You know, there are a lot of things that we can do for our clients. There's a lot of things that we can't do for our clients. With that program. Another program we have is through the state, but it was funded with COVID money. So it is a one-year emergency housing program, and this will most likely be the last year that they have funding for that. They actually notified us about 2 weeks ago that they were going to have to cut the funding by half. So luckily, we have some openings in our PSH program, and we are not going to have to put anybody out. So we've worked very hard in the past 2 weeks to figure all of that out. But one thing, I guess, that I think the Y would like the community to know, and I think all of the other organizations here in town, COVID money was a big help you know, as far as helping us fund programs and things like that. Most COVID money is either gone or is going away this year. So all of us here in town are working very hard to increase our fundraising efforts, to increase our grant writing efforts, whether that's local, regional, federal type grants. But contributions from the Quincy community, Adams County, are going to be vital for all of us moving forward with our efforts. Here in Quincy, you know, we have, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen, the community has seen people highlighted on Facebook, or you might see people along the street on Fifth Street that are currently unhoused. Even though we have a large number of programs here in Quincy, we cannot meet the need, and we're struggling. Our shelters are struggling. There's wait lists for all of our affordable, you know, income-based housing here. I was talking to Jerry Gilley from the Quincy Housing Authority, and one of their programs, they've even had to shut down the wait list because it got so long. So it's definitely something that our community is struggling with. We're not alone in that. But for every person that you see in Washington Park or on the street or on the park down by the river, there are probably 10 or 20 that you don't see who are struggling. And I guess an even larger issue is we are seeing a lot more families struggling. So when they come to different organizations here in town assisting, you know, asking for assistance, it may not be for a $250 electric bill. It might be they're looking for $2,000 because they're behind on all their bills. So there is something going on here in the community, and the Y and all of our partner organizations and the United Way here in the community are working very hard to do what we can, but the support from the community is vital to that too.
Well, the Salvation Army provides emergency housing maybe for a day or a week or something like that. You provide a much long-term, more long-term solution where caseworkers are in the house almost every day, especially if there's children. I guess my question, this would be a better question for Mr. Gilley, but my goodness, why don't we just apply for more Section 8 housing? Why don't we just build more, like we had the Frederick Ball and we have the Southside? We have places where the federal government comes in and builds subsidized housing. That's gone out of vogue now. Why don't we have more Section 8 from the federal government? Why don't we have more stuff here from the federal government? We certainly have the need.
Well, and that's, you know, I, like you said, I'm not necessarily an authority on that, but I know Jerry and his group out there work tirelessly to get as much federal funding and things that we can get. One of the challenges that we do face here in Quincy with housing is we have Section 8 vouchers that are granted to individuals here in the community, but we don't have the landlords and the facilities that will accept those Section 8 vouchers. So we do have Section 8 vouchers that go to waste every year, not because of the QHA, but just for the fact that these people who have the Section 8s can't find a place to rent with that. So that is a major issue. And also, if we have unused vouchers, that will affect our funding in the future.
Right. They say, well, if you don't, you must not need it if you're not using it. I know that the Sustainable Housing Association, Janet Conover, Father Mike Cousy, others have worked to train tenants how to be better tenants. Because I'll be honest with you, the landlords will say, some of these people, you know, they're just a nightmare. You get them in, you can't get them out. They ruin the place. They bring in roaches. They wreck the whole thing. I'm sure that's true in some cases. You know, I wouldn't want to be a landlord. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why anybody would want to be a landlord. But the point is, we do have Section 8 vouchers that cannot be filled because people have a prejudice against people that have a Section 8 voucher. Although Mr. Gilley would say they're your best tenants you could have because they don't want to lose their Section 8 voucher. They want to keep their Section 8 voucher.
Correct. They don't want to lose their voucher. And I actually have we have a client right now with a Section 8 voucher, and we're trying to find her a place. She's an amazing person in the program. She's gotten stabilized to the point where she can support herself, especially with the Section 8 voucher, but we have not been able to find a placement for her, even with all of our resources and, you know, all of our, you know, landlords and different things that we work with. You know, a lot of the landlords we work with don't have openings, you know, or they fill up immediately. And that's part of the problem too here in Quincy, is we don't necessarily have the housing stock and the rental stock that we need. And part of that rental stock that we do have is
It's not Section 8 approved because
it's Section 8 approved, and it's a mess.
Yeah. Well, we have some real bad slumlords here in Quincy. There's no other way to put it. We have some serious housing problems. So the Y is trying to make this a better place. Is there any hope on the horizon? Because you're talking about COVID money running out. Is there any hope that some private agency will come in and or some private service club or something like that will come in and partner?
We are actually working with a group, and we were on your show, I think maybe a month ago. The Quincy Housing Solutions Group is just a group of community members who came together and are trying to raise funds for us to purchase a home that's on the north side. That is one we're looking into. We've had it inspected. We had engaged a couple of contractors, and they determined that they just weren't going to be able to do it. We've got a new contractor out there. He's been out there the past 2 days. He's going to get a bid to us. They have raised just over $100,000. Their goal is to raise at least $150,000, so they're working very, very hard towards that. And that will allow us to provide either we're going to do 2 two-bedroom units or 4 one-bedroom units. And those will be available to the community. They will be, I don't know what term you want to use, rent controlled or low income. Mm-hmm. The Y is going to work with those people to allow them to rent, have a safe place and things like that. And we won't have any restrictions on who we can put in there, right, like we do for a lot of our other grant programs.
It won't be regulation. Anita Failer, Ryan Roberts. So you'll be back on our show again before this episode of The Voice, October 25th, the lip sync contest, 5:30, the doors open with the social hour, 6 o'clock, the dinner is served. It's only $65. How can we get tickets quickly? Where can we get our tickets?
So if you go to our website, ywcaquincy.org, there is a link to events up in the right top-hand corner. You click on that, and you can actually purchase your tickets online. If you don't want to purchase tickets online, you can give us a call at the office. And our phone number just eluded me, but our phone number is actually on the website as well. And or you can stop by. We're at 825 South 8th Street. We're in the Pear Tree Villa. So you can stop by and see us.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you very much for your participation today.
Thank you.